sorry, get this straighter. A couple of quick, first I want to speak for a minute or two, as I said I would, about the Shulchan Aruch view, or the Psak view, of whether there's Shlichos Bebittel or not. So we'll just do that very quickly. Because again, it touches on a couple of important issues, and then let's go back to the Shaka Vitaria on Dalet Omid Beis through Hey Omid Beis. Also, just going forward, in this context, after we go through the Shaka Vitaria with what we, you know, what I gave you originally, so of course, again, we have to speak a little more about Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So that's the, so again, Chav Ches Omid Beis. Just look at the presentation. I'll probably give you more things, but the Rambam's Psak, of course, in Perek Aleph Halacha Ches and the Nosei Kelim there, but also the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, Kuf Tzadi Tes, and especially, well, maybe we'll make reference already today to it, but the way he learns our Gemara on Hey Omid Beis, and of course the Hasaga of the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos, Kuf Tzadi Tes. And there's also a very interesting exchange between Rabbi Daniel Abavli and Rabbi Avram ben Arambam regarding, you know, in Maisa Nisim, I think, Simen Vav. But for those who have access to the Frankel Rambam, so it's printed on the side, you know, in Sefer Mitzvos. If you have access to the Torah Sarishonim, I'd say they reproduce the Rabbi Daniel Habavli critique of the Rambam. For some reason, I don't know why, they didn't give equal time to Rabbi Avram and Rambam, you know, to defend his father. So he, you know, you should look at both. It goes pretty quickly. And again, it's a very exciting exchange. So that's something to look at. In terms of the Rambam, Shita, and Rabbi Yehuda, and so on. Again, the Rishonim here, all Atar, even the ones I gave you to look at, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, Maram Chalava, Rabbeinu David, of course, the printed Tosas, you know, they keep making allusions to it. Like, is this sugya about Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? Is it relevant to it? So we should talk about it. With regard to the question of the scope of things, like, which we've made quite a few allusions to, meaning how different is Rabbi Shimon from Rabbi Yehuda? We know that they're different regarding Malkus. What about Issur D'oraisa? What about Issur Ana? What about some sort of, you know, impact on, you know, Baal Yiroa, if that's possible? Or Taroves Chametz, you know, Lifnei Zmano, or as we discussed the other day, Minchas Chinuch type questions, you know, Tzir Flashior, Hasra. So I want to try to, I figure this is a good place to do that. We'll try to do it quickly, and I'll give you a few more things. But look already, I think Tosas Chachmei, I'm just trying to forget, remember where it is. Tosas Chachmei Anglia also. Should be seen. I think the one on Vav Amud Beis. So we want to discuss a little bit Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon from a Rabbi Yehuda point of view. Rabbeinu David and Rabbi Kalava here, Al Atar. I think I gave you those already. Discuss that. Maybe we'll get to it today a little bit. What is Rabbi Shimon's view of Achila, Hana'a, you know, all these issues? So that is also part of the discussion of the Rishonim a little bit, you know, further on, the riff, you know, the Balamor, famous Balamor, and Zayin Amud Aleph, Gimel Amud Beis, and the Dapei Arif, the riff, the Balamor, the Ravid, the Ramban and Mochamos, and again, Rabbeinu David, here and there, etc. So let's, when you finish the Makoros that I gave you already, which we'll go through hopefully pretty quickly, those are two things that we want to address. Rabbi Yehuda and Paskening like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Shimon, and how Rabbi Shimon understands the din of chametz kodem zmano, even absent a lot. Okay, so those are marmakomas to look at. We'll try to do it as quickly as we can so that we can then move on. But these are definitely connected very strongly to what we've been doing. Okay, before that, just let me take a few minutes before we get back to the Shak Levitarya to just expand a little bit on the question of Shlichus Bebitol. So what do we have so far on Shlichus Bebitol? Gavi. In terms of Rishonu, what we've seen so far.
So the Balamor that said that you are able to do?
Well, not the Balamor, but the Balitor. Yeah.
I'm sorry, the Balitor.
Same first name, Bal.
Right. But then I believe...
You're right. So the Balitor said you're allowed to do it. There is Shlichus Bebitol. And the Ran quotes that. But then he seems to either quote another shita or quote his own shita to say what, Gavi?
That you would be able to do...
doesn't work. And why doesn't it work?
I don't recall, sorry.
So he says it doesn't work because... Sam?
Yeah. We're trying to explain why the Balitor says that it shouldn't work.
No, I'm saying why does the Ram think it doesn't work?
Because it's half. He says it's hafker and you can't use it for hafker.
He says that typically shlichus doesn't work for hafker. What we noted is that in itself is not such a davar pasha. Okay. But so it seems like a machlokas or Rishonim. We don't know, Sam, correctly, why the Bala Itra thinks it does work. Does Bala Itra think that it's hefka, but it still works? Right? Or does he think that it's not hefka and therefore it works? Hard to know. So that's why I wanted to just add. I told you if you got a chance, just to look a little bit at the postkim in Shulchan Aruch, they fill in the picture just a little bit. Even before we get to that, just conceptually, what we already discussed, which is, this seems to be a complicated question, you know, no matter which way you look at it, right? There could be a question, per se, right, about shlichus in a regular case of hefker. Let's start from the Ran angle for a moment. Like, what it really is the din? I mean, the Ran is tola, you know, he hangs his hat on Ein Shlichus Behefker, he really assumes two things. Right, Sam? One is Ein Shlichus Behefker.
One is Ein Shlichus Behefker, and the other one is that we're dealing with Hefker.
And there's, okay, I'll say three things then. Because Lishitaso, he does think we're dealing with a kind of Hefker. So that's where the third thing comes in, namely?
So he assumes it's Hefker, he assumes that there's no Shlichus in Hefker. I don't know if this is a valid assumption, but he assumes that the fact that there is no shlichus behefker is relevant to our. Maybe that's just it's too basic.
Yeah, meaning he assumes that there's no shlichus lehefker generally. He assumes that bittul's midin hefker. Okay, that's l'shitaso on right. Aleph and Aleph in the Dat Be'arif. Can't blame right. him for that. But what you can, I wouldn't blame him. That sounds too judgmental, right? And irreverent, both. So, but what you can, you know, question about this is that even if you hold that Beetle is Hefker, and therefore if you hold Ein Shlichus Behefker, you would just apply it, that's not so poshut for the Ran. Sam, just explain a little more?
Yeah, so what we're basically just saying is that even if you hold in general that there's no Shlichus in Hefker, it doesn't necessarily mean that that detail or aspect of one's conception of hefker would carry over to our discussion of its application.
Especially according to the Ran himself, given that. Does the Ran think that this is classical hefker?
Yeah, I was thinking more for the, I think it was the Meiri that we saw.
I think you could ask this for the Meiri too, but I think you could ask it for the Ran. It's an interesting question. Is it a stronger question for the Meiri, or is it a stronger question for the Ran? I like, you know, what you're saying. So I could make the case either way. For the Meiri, explain what you mean.
Anybody who's going to, right, if you have like a knob, the more you turn it up to being sort of like bona fide hefker, then the more reason you'd have to say that it would probably carry over. Because if you say that, you know, yes. But the less that you emphasize that it's traditional or whatever, however you want to refer to this, the concept of hefker.
It's good, traditional, classical, typical, whatever you want to say.
So the less that you emphasize that, the more I would say leeway you'd have to argue that perhaps that.
Right. So the Meiri and the Ran both don't think this is typical hefker. Either really does a Maram Chalava, but Maram Chalava, it ends up at least being, you know, when you take away, you know, the compensation on both sides, it ends up roughly being regular hefker with an adjustment. But for the Meiri, it's not regular hefker. It's more like it's more Selik oriented than typical. And for the Ran, it really shouldn't qualify for hefker, if not for his schema daita l'das Torah. So once that's true, and this is the question that we asked for the Ran, like how, is the Ran saying, well, schema daita l'das Torah, and therefore we're ignoring the problems and we're treating it as hefker. But then, you know, it still plugs in. Or is that a schema daita l'das Torah itself, you know, already taken away from typical hefker? You might even say the effort to make it hefker is already the schema daita l'das Torah, lo nichale, right? In which case, it's not obvious that it goes the root of hefker. Dafka, maybe that's the two deos. Maybe that's why the Ran himself says yesh omrim. Maybe. Okay. So I just want to document that in fact is part of the discussion of the Mefarsh. Okay? So with regard to, you know, so far we're only within the worldview of the Ran, namely of Hefker. So with regard to Shlichus Behefker generally, I'm not going to get into that right now, but that is an interesting question. I mentioned already the Marit, who thinks that this has to do with Milil Mimser L'Shliach. By the way, the Prima Gadim here in, what is it, Simon Tuf Lamadalid, is it? Where's the right place? Yeah, Tuf Lamadalid Dalid, the Prima Gadim, he quotes that Tshuva the Marit. You know, that Hefker is Mila lo Mimsra the Shliach. Exactly. Let me see. Here in Tuf Lamadalid. The Shulchan Aruch talks about this in Tuf Lamed Daled Daled. We're going to get that in just a second. But the in his comments on the Magen Avraham, Os Tes, the Prima Gadim, says, Ayin Shut Marit Chelik Aleph Kuf Chav Zayin Diyei Shlomar Mili Lo Mimsri L'Shliach. Then he wonders about Hodem Afrishin Truma B'Shliach. How can you have Shlichus and Truma, which is one of the Makoros of Shlichus? That's also Dibur. And so on. So he discusses it. I'm not going to go into all the details, but that's one of the part of the discussion. The other part of the discussion could be, in general, again, whether or not hefker, you know, is a typical hakna. The more typical of a hakna is it should be nitan l'shlichus. If it's more, again, of either a neder, which is what the Ran, you know, may be referring to, or siluk. He doesn't say neder, but he does compare it to the, you know, discussion. There's this question with the discussion of Hafaris Nadarim, you know, and so on, is a good paradigm or not. So we'll see in a moment, the Beis Yosef has a dea that if Hefker is Neder, then, you know, then there's no Shlichas. So I think from the perspective of Hakna'a, of Mili, Hakna'a, of Siluk, or type of Siluk, of Siluk and of Neder, these are interesting discussions about the general question of yesh shlichus behefker or not. But when it comes to the question of bitul hefker of chametz, I say that it becomes a little bit more complicated. And here's where the Beis Yosef, you know, made his contribution. I think one of you mentioned it. Who mentioned it to me the other day? Was it Natanel? Did you mention it to me? Somebody after Shir also mentioned to me, I think, about the Beis Yosef. Or Simcha, maybe?
It was Natan.
I can't.
But Natan mentioned it. I wasn't. Okay, thank you, Natan. So if you look, yeah, and I checked it out. I realized I had already made note of that. So it's an interesting discussion between the Beis Yosef and the Bach. It just, again, it's worth looking at per se, but it's also worth looking at because it crystallizes other things that we've been discussing. So the Beis Yosef quotes the Ran. Says, Yeshom and the Kim de Bittul Mitoris Hefker Nogaba Shliach Lamatzim Vatim. Then he says, Vilin Nira, the Afagav de Bittul Midin Hefker Nogaba. Shapri Yachal Vata Ide Shliach. The Kivin the Chametz Ena Brishusa Shaladam. Elishasa Kosov Kilo Brishusa Bigluye Daita. Diloniha de Lahavel Iskusa Bigave Klal Stogi. So he doesn't say, you know, the Ran Lishitaso shouldn't hold this way. You know, I don't know whether he held back from that, you know, out of politeness or, but basically he's quoting the Ran. When he's rejecting the Ran on Daladom, on Gimel Amud Beis of the Da Be'erif because of the Ran on Aleph Amud Aleph in the Da Be'erif. So that's a really interesting thing. But what's also curious, where's Natan? Is he with us?
Yeah.
Did you see the Bach?
I did not see it inside.
Okay, so the Bach actually takes on the Beis Yosef and says, no, I don't understand that. It should say the opposite. Because you're already being makel in chametz because of this din. So you should be double makel and allowed through shlichus too? Meaning, what's the din de nichale is sufficient? That's a kula. We're saying, even though according to the normal rules of hefker, this shouldn't work. It's going to work here as a kula because asana kasav kilo b'shusa. Says the Bach, so we're already skating on thin ice and it shouldn't work. So you want it to work al yidei shliach when it typically doesn't work. You want to make it work when there's another strike against it? Right. So this is great, really, right? That's what the Bach says. Bach, let me read the line. Bach says, here, he quotes the Beis Yosef, and then he says, Achein kashali, dihi hanosenes, shalola hakel od binyan bitol, lomar demahani al yidei shliach. The kai gavne, dachi tamuda per kamde irvin, meaning when you have a kula, this is a fascinating methodological question, right? When you have a kula, is that a reason to be makel more or a reason to be makel less? And the answer, of course, is it depends on the particular dynamic and what's really going on, you know, both in terms of the impulse to be makel, if it's an impulse to be makel, like how far do you push it? But in the sense of skating on thin ice, we understand where the Bach is coming from. Right? So if the Dovar Kal, let me say it this way. If the Kula is that you are by a stretch, you know, within the criteria, you need this criteria to be filled. And you're only getting it filled through a Kula. So then you're going to add another Kula. You know? In the Chabo al Chidusha. However, if the kula, right, isn't just arbitrary or because of the urgency, the kula is that you're applying a different standard to begin with. I mean, what you're really saying is, if you needed full hefker, you wouldn't have it. you don't need full hefker because the basis of the kula requires much less. So then, for the same reason you could be makel, you know, kula number one, you might be able to makel kula number two. So for example, now it's a way of really testing what the Ran had in mind. And this is a question that we asked, right? The Ran means that just the nichale is enough. You don't need hefker. Maybe you don't even need makel hefker. Maybe you need rotza lafkiro, because rotza lafkiro is a surefire indication of eino nichale. I'm pausing to contrast with Rambam still. Okay? So you want to be mafker it? How much hefker do you really, or is it no? Since I saw an akas of kilabrishuso, you know, and it's hanging by a thread, so the hefker will be more. To this, either way of explaining, I guess there are three ways to explain the Ran, we would say. You know, one way is you don't need hefker at all. There is no hefker at all. The effort to do hefker is what's koveya. If you say that, then I would think that the Beit Yosef is totally right. Namely, you know, if you tell your shliach to be mevatel for you, isn't that low kapaz nichale? It's even more even if you know ain't shlichus behefker. On the other hand, if the point is it's hanging by a thread, you need a very very little bit of hefker. Just like for the meiri, you know, you need less hefker. For the Meiri, you need less hefker because in Kusha number 9, you know, you've got Rabbi Shmuel, fine. And before Kusha number 9, because, you know, there are other things going on. Namely, you know, he's not going to recapture it. No one else is going to pick it up. And so on. Good. So you need less because a Silik hefker will do you enough here. So is that the pshat in the round 2? It's hanging by a thread. To be mafkir, it is much easier. It's a schema that the Das Torah, not any rotza bekumo, but it's a hefker of any rotza bekumo is the kind of a hefker that works here. But even then, I might say, well, maybe for that, maybe that kind of hefker would be aydei shliya. That would be more of an open question, I guess. If the idea is it's very kal, it's hanging by a thread, and therefore we're makel in the criteria of hefker, but we need you to do Alpidin, it's considered hefker because of this reality. That's how the Bach is reading it. So then you're going to say, but Chidusha, come on. Okay? So that is an interesting debate. The second point of the Beis Yosef is, the Beis Yosef says, did you see it?
Does this discussion that we're having now bear any relation to the, I guess the framework that we set up last time for thinking about it in terms of an attitudinal versus a more legal,
I think so.
Conception of
a bittel?
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, it is connected to it, you know, for sure. I mean, we were talking about attitudinal and more, you know, legal in terms of, you know, Bayroa and Yisra Chametz generally. So those, of course, touch on other things too. But certainly in Rabbi Shmuel, you know, this is a parallel to that. Meaning, Rabbi Shmuel, if you're going to invoke, again, as far as I know, the Ramban is the first person to come up with this blockbuster. Again, not Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel is Rabbi Shmuel. But Asana Kasav Kila Breshusa. And there are definitely different ways to, you know, to understand it. But as a basis for understanding Bittel, I mean, a Bittel that shouldn't work works based on Asana Kasav Kila Breshusa, namely, the kula, kind of, that's Ramban. And then we showed versions of it. You know, the Ran's version, the Meiri's version, you know, and so on. Maybe Rabbeinu David's, you know, version of it, etc. But it does parallel in a way, because what we're saying is, you know, to what extent are these mechanisms working, you know, with some adjustment, but they're legal mechanisms? Or is it really all attitudinal? Kind of. So that is a parallel. It's a great point. Okay. The other one is the other pshat in the Beis Yosef is based on Hefker. He says, 1 second. Inami, tamid the Hefker lomhani shlichu sainim mishum the Hefker yeshlo din neder. Kedikasav a Rambam. Aval bitul she'eno inyan l'neder shaper mahani beis shlichus. Which is interesting because, again, the Ksos quotes the Beis Yosef in general about the Rambam's view. It's very literal, very expansive. I was suggesting, you know, that you could argue with that reading of the Rambam, you know, 50% or practically 90%. I like the 90%. Okay. But that's number one. But what's curious is that the Beis Yosef himself thinks, again, the Ksos thinks that Hefker Mishum Neder and so on applies to the Hefker of Chametz too. Beis Yosef does not. Beis Yosef says, Av Bitzu She'eno Linya Neder, Shaper Mahani Shlichus. I think that's influenced by his first point. Namely, the only thing that is different about it is, I think the difference between the first point and the second point is, the first point is saying, the Ran thinks that there's Shlichus is not nitan. I'm sorry, Hefker is not nitan the shlichus. You know, okay, but, and now I think he's saying, maybe there's another reason why Hefker is not nitan the shlichus, not because of the problem of hakna or sila, or maybe it is in a different way. It's because it all works midin neder, and maybe ein shlichus beneder, right? Or maybe that itself shows it's a Dovrisha Begufo in a significant way. But either way, the Beis Yosef is saying in both cases, but that has nothing to do with the way it works in Chametz, because Neder alone is not going to help you in Chametz per se. Not working with the Ksos that it creates an Ener B'Shuso and all that stuff. So either way, he's saying, this is a totally different, it's the Nichale L'Shitaso of the Hefker. He's saying, what is it about Hefker that normally is not Nitam Shlichus? It's this factor doesn't even exist here at all. But again, interestingly, the Bach disagrees. The Bach says, the lo avin, od kasa beis yosef, lo avin lama lo nomar, the bitul yesh kol din hefker, ubedin neder, hu mevatel oso, kishar hefker, kishin mevatel, hu mafker oso. Even though Lamai, by the way, this is especially interesting because Ulamaisa ain lahaka levata yidei shliach. The Bach is, you know, the halacha thinks that you should not rely on shliach. But his argument about neder is the same. It's l'shitaso. He doesn't think because asan akasov ki'ilu bershuso, you know, that changes the dine hefker. It just means that we're more makel in ignoring some of the flaws. But the fundamental nature of hefker shel bitul is hefker shel kol Torah kula. Okay, that's the basis. That's the Bach l'shitas and the basis. Earlier, the Bach says, and what about the bala itur? So let's talk about the bala itur for a moment. So what we talked about so far is Hefker generally, right, which is debatable, both from a neder, from a siluk, from a hakna, from a mili point of view. We're not going to do more than that for now. Then what about hefker here? So that is, you know, the Bach against the Beis Yosef. And what about the neder part of hefker here? That too is the Bach against the Beis Yosef. Okay. Right. So the issue of shlichus ends up being a very important argument about the character of these big dinim that we've been discussing. Okay, what about the bala itur?
Rebbe.
Yeah.
Sorry, just one question. Yeah, sorry, yeah. Just one question on that in the Bach. Why does it have to be that, let's say just the Bach sheet on using the kula twice, why does that have to mean that he has normal standards of hefker? Why can't it just be no matter what he thinks about how hefker is applying here, he just thinks that you can't use a kula twice.
Well, I'll say this. if he felt that the idea was that the effort to do hefker, irrelevant, irrespective of what happens from a hefker point of view, is itself an indication of eino rotza b'kiyumo, so we don't care about the hefker. The hefker merely attests to his state of mind. That's all. I'm saying that for sure he's rejecting.
But isn't that, it's still, that is.
What I was saying before was, I think that there are three ways that you could say all of this. Okay. But the way that both on the neder side and on this side, it sounds like, and the example that he brings in Erevin and so on, and Pasi Biros also, is that, you know, you have a kula. The kula doesn't indicate that we're revising, you know, the category. It only reflects that we're revising some of the conditions that, you know, that normally, you know, dictate, you know, how you relate to this category. That is what's questionable. Because if you say that the effort for hefker, if you say one of two things, the effort to do hefker, you know, already shows your state of mind, that's a reflection of eino rotza b'kiyumo, then for sure you don't care about the hefker. But even if you held and said, like we were saying, like Sam was suggesting, like the Me'iri, and then look at the Ran in a different way too, it's a hanging by a thread kinyan. And therefore, the hefker required to neutralize it is less as well. Okay, but it still requires a hefker that is fundamentally typical. So if we know that, you know, that if we're gonna be makel because, you know, the Torah is machmir, and therefore we're being makel, that's a sod and kasav kibushus, so therefore we're being makel. That doesn't mean we can, you know, we know that we're being makel in that, but doesn't mean we can be more makel. As opposed to saying the first thing which we said, which is that nothing to do with the hefker, or that it does have to do with hefker, but it shows that you need a different level of hefker. Not that it's the same level of hefker, but you can get away with different criteria to accomplish it. All right?
Right, but I was just saying that even those first two approaches like are still based off a kula. So he might just say that his methodology is that he'll never allow a kula to affect two different dinim. So therefore he'll just tell you that no matter
what I'm saying is it's you know, again, he says he had no sentence. Like okay. You're already skating on thin ice. You're gonna skate on thinner ice? You're already pushing it, don't push it more. And what I'm saying the opposite of that is, even if you don't say the extreme one I just said, is the fact that this works, right, highlights that the hefker needed here, you know, is different than the hefker needed elsewhere. Maybe that new, you know, category or level of hefker is one which doesn't have the shlichos problem. So it's not two kulas, it's the same kula. That's kind of what I'm saying. It's the same kula if you say it's simply a shirin lo nichalei, because you really don't care about hefker on any level. Let's say you do partially care about hefker, but you care about a hefker which is more flexible. Then if that same flexibility is relevant to the issue of yes shlichus or no shlichus, then it's not two kulas. It's a consistent new, it's kind of like what Mar Mechalava was looking for, you know, and the Me'iri was looking for two. You know what I'm saying? Namely, the level of hefker required here is less, and therefore that will affect some of the other standards, not arbitrarily. Like, you need gimel, do you need, you know, bedibur or belave? You know what I'm saying? Then it's not a second kula. It's just a consistent indication of what you need. Okay. So the other thing of the, I think the Bach is very lishtas. What does it say about the itur? He says, O nir de bala itur la pasav mevatel, elam ibneshu sover de bitol lav mitam hefter hu karashi. Okay. Again, I would have been okay, especially in light of everything, for the Itzur to argue even with an Efker. But probably it's true that he doesn't think it's mit an Efker. He says, oh, then it's Plashut, works mit an Shlichus. But I'm not so sure that's a Plashut. As I said the other day, for two reasons. Either, you know, you could really be Mekel, and you don't even need Shlichus, because all you need is Eino Rotzo B'Kiyumo. So even if you ask, you know, the Katan to do that for you, maybe it's enough. Or the Aku. Or this is such a personal thing, you know, that, you know, it's a Dover Shebegufo and no one can do it for you. Again, maybe it's like that Ran. Again, the difference between what we saw between the Ran and the Ramban, like, you know, are you worried that you need Bedika, you know, in addition to Bittul, because maybe you can't muster the proper level. You know, maybe only you can muster the proper level, you know, of Pivoli Voshav. Not sure. Either way, maybe that's what the Bach in the continuation says. The Sunira, the Bala Itzur Azul Tamei, the Mevatel Tzarech Levarech, Al Bittul Chametz, Alpha Bishal Obodak. Again, more food for thought. Meaning the Bala Itzur's first view is, if you hold Bittul is not Hefker, Shlichus works. Second view is, the Itzur L'shitaso, in his reading of the Itzur, which is that even though it sounds like Mevatel Beliba Vidayo, he thinks that the Itur is important Shita. I don't think it's clear in the Itur at all. But the Itur holds you need Dibur. That real lave is not enough. Why? Because he holds you make a bracha on the Bittul. So since you need a Dibur, yesh shlichus b'dibur. He doesn't have problems with Mili Lomimsri like the Marit and so on. But according to the other Rishonim, that it's a Davar Shebelev, even if it's not Midin Efker, it wouldn't work. And then he has this idea, even if he can't be Motzi B'Piv, it's like Am Shebesados, it's like Tfila. Very fascinating things. Anyways, but I just think that, you know, you could argue all over the place. Even if you need Dibur, maybe it's still a Davar Shebegufo. Maybe it has to come from him. It's his Nicha that we care about. Even if it's only Belev, and even if typically Ein Shlichus B'Davar Shebelev, right here, it's just an expression of Nicha. So if he tells somebody to do Bittul for him, that's Nicha. Again, I'm not sure you even need a Gadol and a Yisrael. Okay? So either way, the exchange between the Bach and the Beis Yosef, both for the Itur and for the Beis Yosef and for the Ran, I think is very fascinating. Okay. Interestingly, in terms of Psak and Shulchan Aruch, get back to this, the Tuf Lama Dalad Dalad, the Shulchan Aruch path, the Mechaber Paskins, Shlucho Yochel Avatel, which is interesting. Then he adds, Ukishim Avatel Shliach Tzarek Sheyomar Chemtzo Shalploni Yehei Batel. That the Nusach should reflect that it's a Shliach. Okay, and then it goes on to say that if he's not home, his wife should do Bittul for him. That's the Psak and Shulchan Aruch. But not so simple. Again, that's the Beis Yosef's, I guess, conclusion, right? And that's where the Bach disagrees. The Magen Avraham quotes the Darkei Moshe in the name of the Maril, Shetzorch Sheyamod Etzlo. Again, like the Bach in a way. And then he quotes the Bach, Bach Pasak Ein Levatel Al Yidei Shliach. The Taz, on the other hand, quotes the Machlokas HaRishonim, tells you to look at the Beis Yosef, although he doesn't discuss the details, thinks that Isha is no different than any other Shliach. But what he does think is that whenever you ask a Shliach or an Isha to be Mevatel your Chametz, there's an implicit transfer of the Chametz b'matana to the Shliach who's doing it. So it's really a hakna and a kinyan. Very big chiddush of the Taz. Nearly l'damo zeh, the Masha Kotzav Arosh Perakamad Kedushin, im kidesh isha begezel shalom mekudeshes, shem bestam arotze isha shi amos lo b'matana. Im kein huadin, kiven shirotze lafki asatzum bideis or chametz, bestam anasana chametz b'matana l'shliach shalom. He disagrees with the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, which really is a Shibali Aleket, which is that the nusach of the shlichos should reflect that it's somebody else's chametz. According to Taz, the only way this ever really works is as implicit hakna to the shliach. It's very similar to discussions that we had. We're talking about socher maskir, you know, the idea that the socher, maybe through chatzer, becomes the bailim on the be'en implicitly. And then the question is, in the poskim, the same phenomenon, like, does that really work? How do you get the kinyan to work? So here, too, this Taz triggered a whole issue. If you look at the Shlomo Kluger and the Chachma Shlomo, like, you know, Ayin B'Taz, he quotes the Mekar Chaim. The Mekar Chaim says, I don't understand where the kinyan is. If you want to be Mekadosh Adisha with Gezel Dida, you know, you could say that she's Mochel and the Gezel and so on. There's a way to come up with the Kenyan. But if I have a Shliach, you know, I ask a Shliach to do the Bittel, but he never was and now is also not physically in contact with the Chametz, how does he become the Bailin? So the Chachma Shlomo here has a whole, you know, big Chiddush. That since Nichale La'adam Lasso Sa Mitzvah Bin Mamono, that even Amira B'li Maisa is also a Hakna. That's a big Chiddush in Hilchos Kinyanim, meaning that through Das, you know, if you know objectively that it is what he wants, you know, so Dibur alone can transfer, like Amirasa L'Gavoa. He has rayas for it, or he thinks he has rayas for it. But this is a whole interesting issue. You know, that is that's quite controversial, as you can imagine. And let's say the Mekor Chaim, for that reason, doesn't, here in Taf Lama Dalid, does not like this Taz. He also says, all the poskim say you have to use the other language. So he says, Ayin Taz is Sif Katan, base in Taf Lama Dalid. Ein Taz Sif Katan Vav. Al Kochet Tzarch Lomer, the mitzvah Levata L'Chametz Shiagiyu Akakach L'Chatzer. He's bothered by something else. Let's say you appoint a Shliach to do the Bittel, and then later on, Chametz comes into your Rishus after you made him a Shliach. Can he do Bittel for you, even on the Chametz that came into your possession after the fact? So it's like, you know, when you made him a shliach, you know, it was Dover Shalom Bali Olam. Could his shlichus work on cheftza, on money, on, you know, on kinyanim that weren't there at the time, right? Akol tzor klamed the mitzvah levatel shiagiu achar kach lechatzero, as a shliach mevatel mashe yishaer velo yeb efshari lemochro. Mashma after Chametz Shem Bevatel Shliach Lohel Hamshalech Yochel Bevatel B'Shas Shaso Shliach Shadav Shalom Bal Yolam Kasha Kaimelam Benazir Kol Mididi Yulam Matzi Lamevad Lamatzi Mashvi Shliach. Gemara says in Nazir, famous klal, that when it comes to shliach. Whatever you can't do, you can't have a shliach do for you. So b'shas minui shlichas, right? You were not able to be mevatel this davar shalom bal yolam that didn't come into your rishos. So how would shlichas work for that? The kasha, right? The shalom arkivin. Oh, so this is fascinating too. Again, if you treat hefker, you know, and hakna'a, you know, karagil, so then you have two problems with this taz. Right, one problem is, you know, how can you make a shliach on something you can't be, you know, makne yourself because it's davar shalom bal yolam? And number two, according to taz, how do you get the shliach to be the bailin? Right? That's his question in the end. He leaves it. That's where the, again, the, you know, Chachma Shlomo here, from Shlomo Kluger, you know, has his big chiddush. But he says about the first one, this is fascinating. So here he invokes the Ran. You know, how easy is it, like somebody should do, like, you know, a study? You know, it's, again, it starts with the Ramban. It goes to the, you know, Rab David, the Ramban, the Ran, and so on. Like, how far is this Rabbi Yishmael Chiddush Lekula, you know, going to go? It's, you know, it's fascinating. It's structured in. What Rabbi Yishmael said is, like, you know, is made for this. Because he, you know, he took, you know, it's a chumrah, but it's a, what does it mean? It defies the regular rules. Once that defiance, the chumrah, also became a basis, kind of, for certain kula, through the Ramban, and then, you know, even more expansively in the Ran, right? So then, like, where does it end? So you have the Beis Yosef saying, you know, within the Ran, now you have the, you know, Makor Chaim, you know, applying it to explain the Taz, because you don't really need Hakna, you need only Siluk. You can be Masalik Midavar Shalom Bal Yolam. Or you could have gone even further and said, you're not being Mafkir anything. You're just expressing Nichalai. Okay. Anyways, the point is that there's other there are other issues that are discussed in this context that I just wanted you to be aware of. But it kind of, the whole thing highlights in a very interesting way, you know, both the Rabbi Shmuel expansion, Chiddush, etc., as well as different ways of understanding, you know, Bittel, both Bittel as, you know, Bittel mitoris chametz lo nichalei, as well as Bittel and various perspectives on Hefker. Okay, let's go back to the Shaka Vitaria and Dav Dalad. Sorry about that. But yeah, that's an important addition.
Rabbi, just on that last point, it's interesting that the Chok Yaakov in Tav Lamed Dalad Yud Gimel quotes the Shibalei Leket.
Yeah.
Use the language, but then
you need the Shibala is actually said that you need to change the nusach.
Yeah,
and they use that against the Taz.
So but what's interesting is that in the next sif in Yadalid, he quotes the Beis Yosef in the Bach, and he says, I think that really the Beis Yosef is right because he says, Avka de Bechotar Kula, Kaimelon de Shlucho Shaladim Kamoso, Haino Kavin Shlozicha Nechasa of Lashlucho, Lakath Lo Yachla Afkiro. But im kein hacha amrina mistama nechale v'zika l'shlucho chameitzo k'deish yuchol afkiru labato. So what's interesting is it sounds like a modified version of the Taz.
Yeah.
He still thinks that you should use the nusach of chameitz shel ploni, but he's saying that you're mezake the chameitz to the shliach. It doesn't seem like a full kinyan. It seems like you're giving him like a partial.
Like you're giving him a kinyan le'inyan bitol.
Yeah, but it's still
sounds your like partial.
Interesting. Who said that? Who said Arsha?
I did.
I didn't catch it. Who?
Asher.
Oh, Asher. I was going to say, that's great. Yeah.
And that's great because...
I mean, Arsha is a Kenyan legabe lahaknos. That, yeah. Remember, whose language is that, Asher?
Is that Ramban?
Ramban. Right, the Ramban in Mechamos in Bava Kamma. And of Ayin Omen Aleph, like he at some one point like characterizes it, almost like a Kni Amnas, you know, Lahaknos. Like I make you the Gavra Bailim without giving you the Chefza, you know. I make you the Bailim Legabe, you know, transferring the Chefza. I think that's a great paradigm for this, especially if you're saying the Chuk Yaakov.
Well, the Meirion Dav Zayin actually says that if you are make a Shliachan Adika, he's a Morsha al ha bitl also.
A Morsha.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, excellent. So we'll try to follow up on those. But yeah, I think that's great. So there's really an interesting range of, you know, saying going from Shlichus is not going to help you, it's a Davrusha Begufo. It's, you know, it's all about how you really feel about this. You know. And again, within the Ran, since the Ran's the one who says, you know, you need Bidika because maybe your mental, you know, intensity or integrity, you know, could be lacking and maybe you can't get it right. You know, he could have been the one to say this, like, you know, for himself, you know, to say you can't have shlichus on that. Although I could see the other side, you know. So, you know, that's one side of it. You know, then you have the whole opposite side, which is you don't even need a shliach, because what you've done already shows, you know, where you really are in all this. And then the all in-betweens, which are, like, what are you trying to do with this? Can you do that, you know, with shlichus? Can you do it with shlichus if you're using, like, mechanisms, you know, where typically, you know, you couldn't, but here... You know, you're using them in a slightly different fashion, you know, and it's about hakna and things like that. So does that depend on the regular dinim, or is that also going to be sufficient, you know, because of the you know, the Rabbi Shmuel Kula factors, etc. So the idea that, oh, one of those could actually be that he's like a Morsha is, you know, is terrific. Okay, let's go back to...
The Meiri actually has a day, he goes even further and says, it's possible that even if he's not a Morsha, min astam, he invokes Zachen lo l'adam, shelo b'fanav, to say that anyone could do bittel for another Jew.
But that could just be real Zachen and an expansion on that.
But it's hard, like how can, what gives me bilus over someone else's chametz to do bittel for it?
Right, that's true.
So he says, but that seems to be like, that's like a Morsha. It's like a Morsha without even the Minoy.
You have the language?
Yeah. He says, his first one is, he says, he's talking about the Gaonim, and he says, V'chein hiskima l'hakel v'atal yidei shaliach, j'shlucho shaladim kamoso, v'lo od, ala shakol shir shau livdok, harehu Morsha min astam l'vatal, shavadai al kol ha-mitzvah hirshahu.
So it's in a way, it's like the Taz, but in a different, like, and who's he quoting that from?
The Gaonim.
Gaonim. I'll try to track it down a little more. Okay, excellent. So even in the Rishonim, like we have a richer, even before you get to the Beis Yosef and the Bach and so on, you have a richer range than we thought. That's very good. Yeah. In a way, that's kind of what the Taz is getting at. Okay, good. Okay, back to Dalai Lama days. So, sorry, well, now we'll go straight. So we began with it. Zach, you want to just read for us a little bit?
Sure.
Are you in the Beis Medrash?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. The real one, the Gluck.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Where does Rebbe want me to start from?
Just to start from the beginning and just quickly because we want to get back to, I don't have so much time. We'll have to mostly try to finish this on Tuesday, but go ahead.
So,
Yeah, go a little further, and then we'll just break it down a little bit more, because we started, but we didn't finish. So again, there was a Havamina. Again, well, you know, we'll break all these things down. Let's just get through the first. This was a Havamina that, you know, Bir Chametz, Tashbisa would be Lil Yadalid,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's interesting because before the Gemara to have Amina, the daf earlier, that you had Bedikas Chametz at Sheishos.
Right.
Now the Gemara is thinking, you know, maybe Lil Yadalid should be the Zman of Beer. Because we know that now, especially you appreciate now, that Yom Yadalid, you know, isn't just the day before. The things happening on Yom Yadalid that make Yom Yadalid, and maybe that's the pshat with regard to Bedikah, even according to the Rishalmi, and maybe the Rambam, and so on and so forth. The Gra, right? So, Leil Yadalid could be a candidate too. Go ahead. And then, of course, Ema Mitzafra was an option in Bedikah too.
Right,
so let it be the morning of Yadalid. That's right. Another way to, you know, that's the zone before Leil Tesvav and Matzinu, maybe. Difference between, again, going back to Beis Amid Beis, right? Heichan Matzinu, you know, the difference between day and night we've seen.
Right.
Right, with regard to Tainus, other things, okay. So, and especially if it's a, right, go ahead. So the answer is Achilik.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go a little further. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana.
Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. Matzino Yudalit Shnikar Rishon. Shnema Berishon Bar Basi Yom Lachodesh.
Yeah.
Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Rishon Demeikar Mashmit. Amar Kra HaRishon Adam Tivalei.
So when the Gemara thinks here that you know, that when the Gemara proves here that Rishon can mean Erev, the question partially is, does that take all the significance out of saying that Yudalid, you know, is itself a kind of Yom Tov?
Because it would apply to other Yom Tovim.
No, meaning what I'm saying is, and the answer, my answer, of course, is no. But the meaning, the Gemara is trying to prove here that Yud Dalet can mean the day before. And I'm sorry, that Rishon can mean the day before. Mikar Mashmo. When you say Ach Bayom Rishon Tashbisin Sorim B'Techem, you know, that can mean, the word Rishon can mean the day before the, you know, the beginning. So then what we're really saying is the Tashbisu et Chatzos of Yudalid is a din of the day before. As opposed to saying that it's also a Yom Rishon in a way. Meaning it's a Yom Rishon because there are two Yom Rishons. There's a Yom Rishon, the obvious one, you know, the Yom Rishon of the seven, which begins at Tesfav. And then there's a Yom Rishon of Yudalid, because in another respect, namely with regard to Korban Pesach, right, that's in another respect, that's the beginning of the holiday. So when we, even though, the point I'm trying to make here is that whatever we end up saying about the Yom Rishon referring to Mi'ikara Erev, right, I think that's a way to accommodate that we're not operating with Pshuto Shel Mikra, you know, which is normally you'd say Yom Rishon, you're speaking about Shivas Yamim, so it's day one. And we're trying to prove, oh, no, you know, Harishon Adam Tivaleid, you see in Tanakh, even in Chumash, right, that sometimes the word Rishon can mean Mikara, not the first day, but the day before the first day. So then you could say, oh, so that proves that the Din of Yudalid really only is a Din of Erev, as opposed to saying, so what I wanted to just try to explain is that I think a better way to understand the Gemara, especially if you take what I certainly think is Rambam's view, and maybe others as well, and that is that Yudalid is a complicated day. That's we've been seeing again and again and again, right? It's of course, you know, on some level, Erev Chag HaMatzos, but it's also the Chag of Chag HaPesach. And what I believe is, at least for the Rambam, and probably for some others, is that in some respects, Chag HaPesach is the proper Erev to Chag HaMatzos. Not two completely different dinim. And that, in some respect, that means it's a Rishon. It's a 7-day holiday and it's an 8-day holiday. And with respect to it being an 8-day holiday, this is really the Rishon for that too. And the fact that you bring this Korban Pesach, all the dinim of it, and you also eat it only at dafka at night, even though the hakrava is dafka during the day, is also part of the bridge. You know, not only in Korban Pesach, it's not only the bridge that brings Korban Pesach into the seven, it also brings the seven right back into the Yudalid. So even though the Gemara here is trying to explain, I'm only trying to make a ha'ara here. And that is that even though the Gemara here is trying to explain that the word Rishon is Shalom Kipshuto and it means Erev, I think a way to understand it, one way to understand it is just that. Okay, you know, that's the Limud here is Shalom Kipshuto, but that's the Torah Shebaal Peh, that's the Masorah way to read the Psukim. I always prefer, you know, when the ambiguity or the pshat and the limud, you know, can coexist. And here, I think that's exactly what it is. This is day one and Erev, both at the same time. And the dinim of Korban Pesach, intentionally, legabi achila and other things, and even other things, by the way, spill over to or anticipate the laila, el tesvav. And the dinim of Yom Yudalid, even vis-a-vis Chag HaMatzos, especially with regard to Tashbisu and the possibly Achila, and maybe even the Yisra of Achilas Matzah, you know, even if that's a Dindra Rabbanan, et cetera, also established that on a certain level, it really is B'Yom HaRisha. Of course, Meikara, Lagabe the Zion, but also Rishon, Lagabe, like the bigger picture. Okay? So I think those are two ways to understand how to read the Shaka Vidari. Okay, keep going. Yeah, so what about Sukkah? Yom Rishon, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So, El Meato, Captain Rishon, Hachinami Rishon, to make our mashma. So shiny hasn't the chsev was machtem lefneishem lokechem shevaziyam mashvi shvi lechag af rishon rishon lechag.
Yeah. So here it's almost like we're saying, you know, why don't we have the same? Yeah. Here there's a kapeta that the seven is really self-contained. It doesn't have like two dinim that there's a seven and there's an eight. You know, the irony is, of course, that in Sukkos, by the way, you know, you do have that to some extent, just not on the back side, but on the front side, right? The whole question of Shemini Atzeres Chag V'Fnei, which we're certainly not going to discuss right now, in a way, and I think it's really helpful to look at it this way, is the parallel opposite or flip side of what we're seeing here, right? Meaning the eighth day is both day number one and day number eight. It's both a Chag V'Fnei Atzmo, Pazar Kashav, but in many dinim, right, it is a hemshech of sukkahs. And even the transition dinim, like, you know, dismantling the sukkah, and again, I don't want to get into that right now, but those are really interesting topics. But in a way, you know, the highlight of ending sukkahs as you enter into Shemini Atzeres is partially a result of the fact, you know, that it's eight and that it's integrated. Like if it wasn't, you wouldn't really care so much. It would kind of just be male and terminate and end. So it's interesting in the Shaka Vatari, the Gemara is looking to Sukkos. Of course, Sukkos and we know Sukkos and Pesach, you know, Tesvav, Tesvav. They're both, you know, right, the Tesvav has impact, you know, even on, you know, the first day having a different status in Yeshiva Basuka, parallel to what we find, you know, Ilachilas Mata, right, the Gemara in the second parak of Sukkah. So it's not, you know, they're structurally similar. You know, they both have a Cholamoid, right? They both have an Atzeres, according to the Ramban's understanding of what Shavuos is. So it's interesting that they also have both, you know, a seven, fundamentally a 7 day, but also in some respect, an eight. Again, it's the eighth day and an eighth day there, and it's the first day, which isn't really a first day because it's Mikara, but really is a first day here. Okay. Where are we?
Hochinami. Hochinami ksev ach b'yomer rishon tashvisu shivasyam and matzos tofele. So it's also like integrated. Imkei nechtov kura rishon ha rishon lamali shma minal chada amarim. Yahachi Hasanami Harishon Namali. Vasu Hasan Dixib, Yamarishon Shabasim Shirini Shabasim. Yamarishon to make Karamashma. Shiny Hasan Damar Crow, Yamashmini Shabasim. Ashmini Shmini Dechag, Afrishon Rishon Dechag.
It's interesting that they're going to use the Shmini, you know, which I've just suggested as a parallel, you know, just on the other side. But I think it's actually perfect to say, they don't have, you know, the Rishon. They've got a Shemini, right? You don't have to read it that way. It could just be they're just telling you, you know, linguistically and otherwise that you don't have it. I just think when you think about it, the parallel, it even works better. Ma Shemini Shemini Dechag, Af Rishon Rishon Dechag, right? But there's no Erev. Go ahead.
Ha Rishon Namali. Limute Choloshomoi. So Choloshomoi, may Rishon Rishmini Nafka.
Question.
Right. It's Salkadai Tachamina, hold the cause of Rechman Abiyo Mashmini Vav Mosif Al Indian Rishon, Daffy Lubu Choloshomoi, Tamash Malan.
Yeah.
Velo Lichter Rechman Lova, Velo Hey. Vesu, Hassan Dixib, Biyo Marishon Maker Kodesh Yelachem, Rishon to me, Karamashma. Alahani Shlosh Rishon me boy, Lichter the Tanit Vere Bishma.
Okay,
לבין יבס המקדש לסב כיסי קו ונבר מי ראשון מקו מקדשינו.
מקו מקדשינו.
מקו מקדשינו לשמו של משיח לסב ראשון לציון הנה הינם.
So, of course, this question, I'm not going to go into this now, but it's fascinating to connect, right, the Shlosha Rishons, right, the Biskar Shlosha Rishon, Zachu, the Shlosha Rishon, right? Hakuzar Shalesav, the Bin Beit Samikdash, Shmosha Mashiach. Those are big things. Okay, we're not going to go into that right now, but maybe on a Monday. But fascinating how those three are connected. You know, these. Okay. Let's continue. Rav Amar. Let's just get it all in first, and then we're going to break it down a little bit further. Rav Amar.
Rav Amar Mehacha, Lusheshchel Chametz Dam Zirchi, Lusheshchel Pesach, Vadayin Chametz Kayim.
Oh, so this, of course, is fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, what's so fascinating about it, Zach?
I have the connection between Karban Pesach and Lusheshchel Chametz.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that there are, again, broadly speaking, just like we're saying before about Mikar Rishon and so on, two ways to look at it, right? That's what we're saying before. It's all Gili Milsa, or it's all the Limudim themselves, you know, beyond the Gili Milsa, are More, they're Mochiach, you know, a certain connection. And again, this is a huge, like, methodological broad issue, you know, about how we learn, you know, Dinei Torah Sheh Baal Peh, how Torah Sheh B'Ksav teaches us Torah Sheh Baal Peh, right? I've said many, many, many times that, you know, I think that there are different schools of Rishonim and others, like, who have tendencies, you know, to think of these things in a different way. And that in particular, you know, the Rambam is extremely sensitive, you know, to what the Makoros are, where it comes from. I don't think he is so satisfied simply with, you know, Giluyei Milsa, whereas, you know, maybe some of the Baalei Tosfos are a little more, you know, kind of see this as a mechanism, you know, and it's, you know, unfathomable, you know, divine, you know, will, you know, in terms of what else it means or might mean, but, you know, not necessarily inclined, you know, to make more of it. I think the Rambam default always assumes it's significant. I think Baalei Tosfos default often assume that it's not. So this is very, when Rava introduces Lo Sishchat al Chametz Dam Zivchi, right, Lo Sishchat al Pesach Vadayim Chametz Kayim, you know, again, I think that there are two ways to be thinking about this. One is that, you know, there's a pasuk, and, you know, this pasuk is about Korban Pesach, but it's also Megala, Milsa, and the Ribbono Shel Olam wrote the Torah, it's, you know, it's a divine work, and he was able to seed hints, you know, Gilui Milsa all over the place. And it doesn't necessarily matter what the criteria and context is. So, Lo Sishchat HaPesach Vadayin Chametz Kayim could be, you know, just a way of establishing that this is a Zman She'ena Chametz Kayim. And, you know, nothing further than that. If you think that there is, you know, consequence or significance, you know, to the way that we have these limudim, so then you wonder, you know, whether or not, you know, there isn't a more fundamental connection. And that the fact that we would learn the Zman Iser Shihia, you know, from a din in Shechitas Korban Pesach, doesn't already show you the overlap of Korban Pesach, you know, and Dinei Chametz Matzah more generally. Right? You could still ask the question whether there isn't a distinctive formulation or a distinctive, you know, din of shchita bizman, you know, hachametz or shchita kishe hu bailam al hachametz, you know, there could still be dinim that are unique to Korban Pesach. It's shchita, it's rika, it's haktara, whatever it is. This is again Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, which we'll probably look at, take a quick look at. But in the end of the day, if we don't think it's a coincidence, we also might think that it's, you know, we also might want to ask an additional question, and that is, you know, which is Gorem which? Like, is the whole Isra of Chametz B'Shashisa Sulamala because it's the Zman of Akravas Korban Pesach? That's a pretty radical view. But is that really what's going on here? Or maybe the opposite is true. The only reason that there's an Isser of Shechita al Chametz is because there's a general Isser of Chametz. So it's not Novea from Korban Pesach. Maybe Korban Pesach is Novea. Now, is this primarily, I guess there are three options. Is this primarily al Hilchos Chametz Matzah Halacha, also expressed in Hilchos Korban Pesach? Or is it primarily Hilchos Korban Pesach Halacha, you know, that is exported into or imported into, exported from and into Chametz Matzah? Or are there two completely different dinim and a Gili Milsa? Or maybe there are two dinim, meaning that there are different details, you know, but it's still not a coincidence. I would say there are four ways to look at this issue. Okay, so we should be sensitive to that. We should keep our eyes open. Which of these four? Is this a Chametz Matzah halacha expressed also in Korban Pesach? A Korban Pesach halacha expressed also, or, you know, because of Korban Pesach? Right? An overlapping halacha that applies to both? And if so, identically or maybe in slightly different ways, but same idea? Or Giluye Milsa, but two completely different deen. Okay? Everybody with me on that? We'd have to check it out. So we're going to look here, and let's see what the Rishonim say here. We're already familiar, we've already mentioned that the Rambam, like, really likes Rav. A lot. Okay? So, and he seems to, like, want to, you know, promulgate Rava Lahalacha. Okay, both Aleph Ches, which is strange, and in Beis Aleph, where the Nosa Kalim wondered why he needs it. Okay, let's see for others. So again, we're going to have to look a little bit, if you get a chance already, to look at the Shach Levitai, the mission of the Gemara on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, and look at the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos. What number is that? Like pay. Hold on one second. Is that like pay ches? Pay ches? And the Rambam Hilchos Korban Pesach seems to have a change of heart on a certain issue. Second. No. What's the number? Anybody know? I'm not finding it here for the moment. But I see, because I'm in Mitzvah Sase instead of Mrs. Losase. Okay, sorry. Let's at Losase. Oh, right. Let's finish Shakvatar, then I'll tell you what I want for you. Hey. Nope, still wrong. Is it Mitzadis?
It's Kuf Tesbarov. It's Kuf Tesbarov. It's 115.
Oh, 115. Sorry. I think in the Minchas Chinuch it's in the pays, right? Yeah, Kuf Tesbarov, sorry. Correct. Yeah, look at the Rambam in Hilchos Korban Pesach. And also the Rambam here in Kuf Tesvav, and also the Sefer Achinuch. What's the number of Sefer Achinuch?
89.
Oh, it is 89. That's what I was looking at. Pay tests. Okay. 89. If you get a chance to look at the Minchas Sfina, we'll pick out a couple. Again, we're not going to, you know, delve too deeply into this because we're not learning, you know, Talmud Mishkan right now. But just, you know, just to pin this question down a little more, you know, is this a Korban Pesach halacha, two halachos, a chametz halacha? What is it exactly? Okay, let's continue. And the truth is, it's already reflected in the next line a little bit. Okay, the Ema, go ahead. Zach?
Oh, yeah.
Ema v'chad ki shachet zman shchita.
Ema kolchad v'chad ki shachet. No, zman shchita amar rachmana.
Yeah. So what is the Ema kolchad v'chad ki shachet?
That losishchet is a personal tzivui, it sounds like. An individual.
But this din, you know, that you can't have chametz or can't be the owner of chametz or have chametz presence in some way. We'll see exactly what it means. Maybe it's a din in the zman shchita. For each individual, in which case it doesn't help us here, because we're interested in figuring out how do we know that at Chatzos there's an Isur Shehiyah. Now, if that would have been true, right? So that would certainly push it more as a din in Shechitas Korban Pesach. But even then, you could wonder whether or not the application of the presence of chametz to Shechitas Korban Pesach, you know, isn't still some sort of an acute expression of the overlap of these two din. It doesn't have to be. It's less likely to be than it was if it's a din in the Zman. Right? But it's still an open question. Okay. Either way, when the Gemara says Zman Shechita, Amar Rachmana, Zach, again, you can explain it in two ways. One is as a kind of laplug, right? Or gili milsa. That's still not the din of kishachet. I mean, there's still a din of kishachet. Right? And never the twain shall meet. Just that it's written in such a way. That's what I mean by gili milsa. So one halacha is that osur lishko ta pesach ala chametz, which means bizman. Whatever the details in the sugya and samach gimel are. Then there's another halacha, and that is lo sishkat al chametz dam zivchi refers to the zman hashchita, and that's a din. Maybe that's just a gili milsa. You know that after chatzos you're not allowed to have chametz, or is it that you're not allowed to have chametz because it's the zman shechitas a pesach. So even if you're not over on shechita al chametz yet, right? The real iser of having chametz after chatzos and yom yedaled is the din of zman shechitas a pesach. That's the mechayev, as opposed to saying something. Or maybe even if that's true, but it's kind of a low plug for when you do the shechita. What I'm trying to say basically is there are two like ways, two extreme ways to either maximize the overlap or to really minimize it. Right? The minimizing is to say there are two completely different dinim and a gili milsa about the zman. Or even if the zman is also relevant to the context, it's a kind of a, as I said before, a low plug to protect against the shechita. But the other way to say it is that, you know, these are one din. This is the din of Isur Shehiyah. It's connected to Bior. Meaning, this is all about the overlap between Nichus Korban Pesach and Nichus Chametz Matzah. Now, how that overlap works, is it a din in one that applies to the other, in which direction? Or is it a din that applies commonly to both? You know, and still there might be differences in how commonly, you know, and how, you know, it expresses itself. These are the four, I guess, ideas that we spoke of before. But even in this one line in the Gemara, it's already, then you'll see Tosis. I mean, Tosis, you know, zeroes in on it, right? Zman Shchita Kama Rachmana, right? Tosis says, yeah, just for a second, we'll go back to it and the different Rishonim. Just take Zach, if you don't mind, just for 1 second.
Yeah, I forgot the MSU. The low sishchet al chametz kol chad v'chad ki shachet amin perek tam nishchet shulchet es pesach al chametz over v'lav. Komakam came to Ashkhan the Israel Hashbasa, the Israel Shalom Lishra Pesach al chametz zarhush bisman shchit Israel Hashbasa.
Oh, the Tosis is really. What was, like, is he discussing this or not?
No, it's, he sounds very much like it's just a gilei milsa. It's like mistaber to connect them.
Yeah, I mean it's hard to know, but I mean the question is, I forgot the MSU. They're not connected. Kivan the Ashkechan the Hizir Al Ashbasa the Hizir, right? Shalom Lishkod Pesach Kol Chamet Svarahu Shebizman Shchita Hizir Al Ashvisa. But is that a Gili Milsa in the Maskana, or is that a way? Is the Svarahu like in the Gili Milsa, in the details, or is the Svarahu, you know, and there's really an overlap? Sounds more like a Gili Milsa. But already food for thought. Let's see how the other Rishonim Ram Chalava, let's see how they formulate it. Okay, let's continue just for another minute. Go ahead.
Tanya Rami Hachi, Ach Biyom Rishon Tashvisa Zorim Yibatechem, Me'er V'yante.
Wait, wait, so where are we?
Tanya
Rami Hachi, correct.
Yeah, okay. Tanya Rami Hachi.
Okay, that's the same. Okay. Rabbi Akiva Omer.
Rabbi Akiva Omer, in it's our Harry Omer.
Of course, we've discussed.
Right, right.
Okay. Then the Gemara concludes, which we still have to discuss at length.
Amarava Shma Mina Min Midurbi Kivatlas, Shma Mina Indir Hamitala Srifa, Shma Mina Havar the Khalkyatas, Shma Mina Lo Amina Hol Hotar Havar the Torah, Hotar Namishal the Torah.
Okay, there was a lot to say about all that, some of which we've discussed already and some of which we've hinted at already, but we absolutely discuss all of that as well. Okay, so we're going to stop here just a second. Just, all right, you know, maybe I'll just. If I start, then I'll probably go over time too much. So, yeah. Okay. So let's break it down next time. Start breaking it down. As I say, look also, in addition to the Rishonim that I gave you to look at, the Rambam and the Ramban, and the Rambam and the Rambam, and Rabbi Nila Bavli, you know, that whole discussion, as well as, you know, Rabbi Huda, the Rabbi Shimon view of Achila, Hana'a, and so on. That's a Balamor, the Ramban, the Ravid. I think Tosas Chachmei. I'll tell you exactly what Tosas Chachmei Anglia is. If you don't find it, I think it's on Zion Ibn Aleph. But if not, I'll find it. It's either Zion Ibn Aleph or Gimel or Chavches, one of the three. I just have to find my, for some reason I can't find my volume here, but I'll try to track it down for next time. So Tuesday, let's try to go quickly through some of these issues. We already began to discuss Rav Meir and the Yerushalmi. That's very important, both Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So we'll talk a little bit more about that, and especially I want to talk about the Meir, the Chachmei Provence view of Achilek, in light of Rabbi Meir in Yerushalmi, meaning is it a dinan pre-Tesvav or mid-Yadalid, you know, those kind of issues. Speak a little more about, you know, Kodim Zmani Suro and Lachar Zmani Suro. There's also a very interesting Tshuva Saran, if you get a chance, in the Torah Sarishonim, just like a curiosity almost. There's an interesting Tshuva Saran with Tistola on this machlokas between Rashi and Tosis. So that's something also to look at if you get a chance. If not, I'll just mention it. Where is this tshuva? Siman Nun Aleph. Okay. And if you get a chance also, he has on the relationship between you know, Biur and Achila, interesting, the Shitas HaYireim in Sefer HaMitzvos. Again, Torah Sarvashonim quotes it here also. Shin Aleph and Nun Beis. If you get a chance. Not Nachutz, but I'll mention it also very quickly. Okay, very good. So we'll continue with all this. You have quite a bit to do, but we'll try not to dwell too much on this. The basic issues we're familiar with already, meaning how qualitatively, how do Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon stand on Erev Pesach? And in general, how do we look at Erev Pesach? You know, as a time b'fnei atzmo, you know, as a diluted, you know, extension of the seven, all these kind of issues, you know, that we've, you know, already touched on a little bit, you know, but with regard to, you know, Malkus and Iser and a little bit of Tarovis and Bayura and things of that sort. Okay? So that's Amir Tashem for the next couple of days. And then after that, we'll discuss a little bit about Havara Lalav, you know, in Shabbos and Yom Tov a little bit, and the question of Hetzer Kol Nefesh, again, very briefly. And then we'll move on to Bal Yirah and Bal Yimatzeh, the sugya on Eimud Beis Vavud Beis. Okay?